everyone, and welcome to the DBCC Sermon Podcast. This past week was Reverend Penwell's vacation, so we'll bring back a previous recording from July 29th, the Sunday our mission trip group returned from their journey to Mexico.
Stand for the reading of the gospel lesson. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain, sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, "A 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had been eaten, or who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they'd rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, this past week, 14 people from this congregation went on a trip, once again, down to the Casa Hogar Children's Home in Mexico, in San Luis Potosí. And as always, I've asked them to think about where it was they saw God in this past week. Where, on this trip, where did they see God manifest? And I've asked them to share those thoughts with you this morning. I think what we'll do is I'm going to ask those of you who are prepared to speak to come sit down here. That way we'll not have quite as much pageantry when the time comes. I'm going to start Paula Spignardi, who was really enthusiastic about having her thoughts known to you all, sent me this reflection. She says, "I'm so sorry I'm missing the opportunity to speak to all of you. but I'm spending the weekend with some of my cousins. I love hearing how everyone else experienced God this past week. Being at Casa Hogar, you feel God's love many times a day. But what struck me this year was the legacy of love that Derek's grandparents left behind. A large framed photograph of Ted and Wanda Murray hangs above the piano in the living room, along with some framed newspaper clippings from the 1960s that document the founding of the home. All week, I was aware of Wanda and wondered how she went about caring for so many children. What worried her? What brought her joy? I'm sure she experienced God's grace when John and his wife, Selene, decided to carry on her work at the Casa Hogar. I'm sure that John's irrigating the courtyard so she could have grassy oasis instead of dirt and sand outside her front door brought her joy. No doubt she's proud of Derek and his commitment to God and his faithfulness to Casa Hogar. I'd like to think so. And I think that an event from this week would have delighted her as well. Sunday evening, all of our youth and the older kids from the home gathered in the courtyard and they played. They built human pyramids. Threw a frisbee, they played Red Rover. There were shrieks of joy and laughter, and this went on and on. They loved being together and getting energy from one another. Most of us can probably remember those special summer nights when a group of kids gathered and got along and enjoyed some time without adult supervision. Those are some of my sweetest childhood memories. I know that the Casa Hogar kids have fun together a lot of the time, but there was something special about the two groups combined that made it magical. Cultural and linguistic differences didn't matter. They were experiencing true community. They were unplugged electronically, but connected on a human level. And John and Selene stood at the living room window, witnessing the sight. And I joined them for a moment and honored this sacred time of God's grace. I woke up the next morning with the thought that Wanda would have been delighted to see her great-grandchildren, Sam and Mary, with her other children from the home playing on her grass. Her legacy of loving her blood relatives and her Mexican relatives continues. Wanda followed Jesus' instruction to his disciples to love one another, and that legacy has continued, and that's how I felt God's presence this week. Let me say just briefly before I call someone up here, that this place, the Casa Hogar, is a children's home, started, of course, by my grandparents years and years and years ago, back in 1964. This is our fourth trip down. And I'm going to let some other people tell you about what we did work-wise. But suffice it to say that the work we did this time was the culmination of a lot of years of planning and work up to this point. It's really exciting, and I was proud to be there. I'll start with Ruth Ann.
This was my second trip to Casa Hogar, and this time I knew what to expect. The accommodations, the routine, the roosters crowing in the middle of the night, the dogs barking all the time, and of course the many trips we have to make to Walmart. I thought I would be performing similar tasks as I did last year, painting and of course washing all the dishes after every meal. I did wash some dishes on occasion, and in one instance, I even helped in preparing one of the meals, which for me is really amazing because I don't like to cook. But I definitely surprised myself by volunteering to make curtains. Go figure. God does work in mysterious ways. I haven't really sewn anything major in over 10 years. We were asked to make curtains for a couple of the girls' rooms. The ones that were previously there were nowhere to be found. Some curtains for some of the boys' room, and then a curtain for the living area. Paula was my partner in this endeavor, and together we managed to make some pretty professional-looking curtains, especially for the living room, complete with tabs to hang them by, and this was all without a pattern. At first, I thought we would have to sew these by hand, but Selene had an old Montgomery Ward sewing machine, which she let us use. We wore it out on the first set of curtains, and although Gary tried his best to try to fix it, we wound up having to buy her a new one, and we used it to finish up the rest of them. Paul and I were very proud of ourselves when we finished, but most importantly, Selene was happy. Last year, I was able to fall into the daily routine at Casa Hogar: meals, dishes, painting, social time. But this year, that routine seemed to escape me. Paul and I were on our own schedule in order to get those curtains finished, and even worked until midnight one night. Others in the group were scheduling their own time to get the electrical and plumbing work completed. A couple of days, I didn't feel well, as most people didn't. So I didn't participate in many group activities those days. However, the daily routine at Casa Hogar quietly went on around me. Everyone doing their chores, no arguing, lots of laughter, and the kids playing and having fun. I can imagine that same routine going on today. John and Selene are simply amazing people. The way they run the home and interact with all of the children there, they truly have a gift. And the children are so lucky to have them watching over them. John thinks of all of these children as members of the Casa Hogar family and expects each of them to look out for the others, as would be the case in any family. Derek asked us, "Where did you see God?" My answer is everywhere at Casa Hogar, in John, in Selene, in all of the children, and in all of us who went to San Luis, and all of you who supported us, who enabled us to go. John said that sometimes he feels alone in what he is doing, that he doesn't get much support from the local community, and he specifically asked our Douglas kids to not forget Casa Hogar as they grow up, and that they continue to support whoever may be running the children's home after him in the future. Hopefully our kids will continue to keep Casa Hogar in their hearts. People like John and Selene, who listen and respond to God's call and provide shelter, food, and clothing to some of the youngest of God's children, will always need our support and prayers so that they know they are not alone. I keep Casa Hogar in my thoughts and prayers often, for surely God is watching over them.
This year, like in years past, we started out for Casa Hogar with a plan in mind of things that we would like to accomplish down there. And somewhat like years past, but perhaps this year even more so, that plan began to evolve as soon as we arrived. We found the usual problems. Toilets were plugged up, leaks, other plumbing issues. Some of the things we had done before needed to be redone a little bit. We made our customary first trip to Walmart to get the essentials of life, toilet paper. But then we began immediately to work on some of the things that we felt the children really needed. That is, functioning toilets, hot water in the showers, water off of the floor. Bear in mind that as we're looking at all these things, the children are running around happily playing, enjoying themselves, and from all appearances, not missing anything. So, of course, our first priority was to make sure that we took care of their, quote, our creature comforts. We started out doing some electrical work, which was part of our original plan on Wednesday, and managed to get in a good portion of the conduit that was required on the girls' side that we hadn't worked on the previous year. But then we diverted because the hot water and plumbing issues became urgent with one functioning toilet for about 25 people. So we went to the plumbing supply store, bought pipe and fittings and a hot water heater. We got toilet parts. We got all the things that we needed and came back and started installing. And then within one day or so, we pretty much had those things taken care of. The electrical work kind of got put on hold for a while, but we came back to it towards the latter part of the trip, the last couple of days, and through the grace of God, we were able to finish up what we had planned in addition to all the other repairs and projects that we had started. The kids is, I think, the place where we most see God. They didn't need these things, at least not from all appearances. I'm sure they'll use them, and I'm sure that they'll benefit over time. I saw one example of this in one of the little kids in the boys' side. He was sleeping with a light right in his eyes plugged into the electrical outlet we put in years before, and had the radio blaring in his ear. So he was being comforted, I think, by something that we never anticipated would be a need. So I think that in taking care of our own personal needs down there, we do leave a legacy for Casa Hogar and make them better prepared to care for the children and for the children themselves to enjoy a little higher standard of life as a result of our efforts. There's no question that what we do down there in the end benefits them, but even more so I think it benefits us, not in the fact that we're more comfortable while we're down there because of doing it, but because of what we feel that we've left behind.
I'm getting the nod from all the kids who don't want to go yet. So, this is my third trip. This was my third trip to Casa Hogar. The first was the infamous extended stay. And so every year that I've been, I've seen God in the kids. I've seen God in myself working with me. But this year, because it's become much more comfortable for me there, and because they're used to seeing me, I start seeing more everyday interaction. But I also get to learn more about the people that we go with. Obviously, I see God in Gary and Basil. They are the fearless leaders of all the tasks, the forever foremen of our endeavors, and with their patience and diligence, we were able to get done what I don't think anyone was certain in the beginning we could, and they did. But what really struck me on this trip is how much trips to Mexico, trips to this children's home, affect the lives of the people that go for the rest of their lives. I looked back on my own life. I wouldn't be standing here right now. I don't even know if I would be at this church if I hadn't gone to Mexico the first year that I went. I didn't know anyone there. I didn't know very many people here. But the friendships that I made on that first trip, not only with the people at the home, but with the people of this congregation, have extended far beyond what I could have ever imagined. And I think that the most telling fruit of these trips to people who go would be Derek and his friend Bill, who I got to know a lot better this year. I got to stay in the casita this year, the house of love, as they call it. And so I really got to hear from Bill's perspective what it's like to be Derek's friend. Bill and Derek were obviously friends before Bill took his first trip to Mexico, but their friendship seemed to blossom when Bill got to meet Derek's family there and got to truly see Derek's heart as Derek got to see his. And their friendship has extended far beyond Derek's stay in Middlesboro, and they still are in very close contact. Their friendship isn't one of utility, while they do help each other at every turn. And it's not one of entertainment, while they do both entertain each other, but it is a true friendship of love between two human beings, despite differences and despite disagreements. And I think that is really, that's really kind of the fruit that comes out of this experience for everyone, is that we get to make true connections and bonds with people that we don't even expect to make connections with. We go down to Mexico, we expect to meet some Mexican children that don't have parents. That's great. Well, have parents, but aren't with their parents, and that's wonderful. But we get to make true connections with people that we know but don't really know. And that's where I saw God this week.
Okay, so I went to Casa Hogar last year, and we got to meet some of the kids down there. And this year when we went back, it was really nice to sort of cultivate the friendships we developed last year and to grow those relationships. I remember one time in particular, we were sitting outside after we were playing in the yard like Paul was talking about. And after all the festivities wound down, we were sitting in a circle. And we were talking, but at times there were lulls in the conversation where none of us really knew what to say, or our knowledge of the other's language didn't permit us to say anything. And we were, even though we were silent and there wasn't any communication going on, we were still like happy to be together, and we were comfortable with one another. And so I saw God in the relationships that we developed with the kids down there, and that we were, even though we couldn't talk to them all the time, we could make our feelings known to each other through other means of communication, whether it just be laughing or, you know, giving them a hug or a piggyback ride or something like that, that we could show those kids love and they could give us something in return. Alright, so like everyone else, you have the kids and you can see God through their love. However, this year I paid like a lot more attention to John and Selene. And just one thing that struck me was like how like John's faith had like helped him, and he all like he always had like an he knew that he always knew that everything they needed would be provided. And I can remember the like the last night we were in the casita talking with him, and I think it was either my mom or Paula, and they asked him, like, where do you see God? And he just kind of went through a list of all the things that that God had provided for them at the Casa Hogar. And some of the stuff was, like, stuff that you never would think that would work out as easily as it did, and it would. And so I just saw God through like, how much faith that John had, and that things would work out and everything would be okay in the end, and that God would provide it, so.
So where I saw God this week, or this past week, was connecting with people and getting a family connecting with people. Whether it was interpreting fabric lengths into Spanish with Ruth Ann, listening to Jonathan plan his future while riding over an excessive amount of speed bumps, talking with Christina on the swings, or having a water fight with Prince A and Alvin, giving Carla and Estrella pushes on the swing, and going to the fruit market with Luis, Oscar, and Slaney, or even with the youth group when we had a late night game of Red Rover. All I had such a great time doing, God giving me each of these opportunities was a blessing. I call them experiences, but Ruth Ann would call them adventures.
Well, I'm not sure what I would add to the things that people have said so far. A big part of this trip for me is always getting ready, and the time that we spend together trying to figure out how in the world we're ever going to raise enough money to go down there. That's pretty spectacular. And then when we travel and when we're down there together, I love seeing my family. I love spending time with them and with the kids down there, but it's especially meaningful to me. I see God so much in the way that I'm able to talk to people that I see all the time around here, but don't talk to. Does that make sense? To be able to have conversations about things that mean something to each of us that we don't often take time to do here. And my hope is always that that kind of openness, that kind of love that we express to one another becomes even more a part of the fabric of our lives here. Because it seems to me that God is to be found, if anywhere, most of all, most urgently in community, in our connection. And I think that that's what's most gratifying to me. And I think that's what's most gratifying to me about the job that I do. I still am amazed that I get paid to do what I do, and that you all seem satisfied to continue to pay me to do it. That's pretty spectacular from where I sit. Because a large part of it is making relationships. It is trying in some way to communicate what it means to be followers of Jesus. That we are brought together as people into this large collective, this community called the body of Christ. And somehow or another, we try to spur one another on. We encourage each other. We pull one another forward. I can't imagine doing this without you. I can't imagine doing this, and by this I mean not just take this trip, but this whole journey of discipleship. That's a part of who we are, and that's what we invite you to.
Thanks for tuning in to the Douglas Boulevard Christian Church podcast. Douglas Boulevard Christian Church is an open and affirming community of faith in the Highlands neighborhood of Louisville, Kentucky. Worship begins at 10:50 on Sundays, and we hope you'll join us sometime in person. Until then, you can find out more about us at our website, www.douglassblvdcc.com. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Our handle is at DouglassBLVDCC.